Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Wowee! Welcome to the best show that is on right now in your ears. We're worst year ever.
You fucking blew it, Cody.
And Robert is speaking from Washington, D.C. I'm Cody Johnston.
I'm Katie Stoll.
I am livid at how Cody botched that introduction.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't really help things by talking over him as he did it.
But it was going to be great. I was going to stick the landing. But
honestly, guys, C-minus to you both.
I accept that. You're right.
Thank you, Sophie.
It's cost us today. It's cost us today. But the harder I am on Cody, the better he's going to get at introducing this podcast.
Yeah, because you're really great at introducing podcasts, Robert. Shut up.
the last podcast we were on together, you just talked about Hitler for like 4 minutes.
That wasn't the last podcast you were on together.
That I was on with him, yeah.
Speaking of which, I have a lot of Hitler thoughts today if we want
to
start this episode about the Democratic debates with some Hitler talk.
Welcome to the Worst Year Ever podcast.
That's
and
ours,
now with Robert ours, with his our, Hitler comments.
With our segment, Hitler Talk with Robert.
All right, I'm going to get this train under control here. This week we're talking about last week's Democratic debate. Now, why are we talking about it today, several days after the debate? Good question. It's because we haven't done that yet. Mm. And we are an election podcast and we haven't talked about the
That's
debates.
True. We have not talked about the debates.
We've talked about them on our show.
That is true.
With Robert, mm-hmm. but not here mm-hmm. on The Worst Year Ever. And it's about goddamn time.
Katie, I want to applaud you for finding such an eloquent way of saying we didn't know what else to make this week's episode
about. Sure, there's also that.
We talked about the debate. That was really well done.
Mm-hmm. Just so that everyone knows, I'm moving this week. It's stressful. This seemed like a good... But also the other things I said, but also, yeah.
I mean, it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. All of it's true.
A little less prep work.
I did request a debate episode.
And Sophie requested it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while. It's time. The primaries are actually in full... Well, not full swing.
Yeah,
but,
they
know,
are. They're swinging.
Full swing. Yeah. It's time.
Do you guys think that we've stalled enough and we should start talking about the debates?
No.
Or do we want to stall some more?
Mm-hmm. What was your day like?
I want to talk about Tom Steyer.
I think it's time we get started. Cool. Let's talk about the debates last week. How'd you guys like it? No, let's start by talking about the candidates. Who do you think did well?
I really want to hear what Robert was about to say.
I'm never going to vote for him because I don't think his actual policies are very good or at all where they need to be. But Andrew Yang can answer a motherfucking question.
You know
really
what?
Well,
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by him. Again, I'm the same boat as you. I'm not going to vote for him. I don't think his policies. Some of them are. He has interesting ideas, but they aren't. They don't hit home for me, but respect the hell out of that guy.
Yeah, he can answer a question. He speaks to the root a lot, which I think is important.
Yeah,
he made a lot of great points.
I for a guy who I know is a committed capitalist business owner, mm-hmm. He was the most explicitly critical of American capitalism of anyone on the stage, which was really interesting.
And the stuff that he's saying is important and true. You know. Again, we've talked about him in the past, you know, automation, everything that he's talking about and the effects of technology.
I think he does oversimplify things a little sometimes. That he talks about, like, the Trump not being the problem, but rather the symptom. I think that's important.
I love that moment. I love when he said that.
He said that before, and I think it's important to always come back to that and point that out. But also, after the debate, he said something about how, like, yeah, we've lost like X amount of manufacturing jobs. That's what we got, Donald Trump. And it's like that's oversimplifying it. That's not
accurate.
Right. And I do understand
it's one of a number of factors.
It's like there are a lot of factors.
But that's a talking point for him that works well with his campaign. He's
the only one talking about automation.
Politics.
Too, so, yeah.
And that's not I give you a pass. It's politics. It's just like that's the game. But I do appreciate him up there.
He's very likable.
He's very likable. He answers questions really well. He seems to be going out of his way to be friendly at with everyone, which I guess, considering his actual level of support, makes sense. It's the way to go.
He might just be very nice.
That's also him too. Yeah, whenever he talks
just
about
be really nice.
Two debates ago, I think he was talking about how he misses Cory Booker, and I believe that he and Cory Booker had a lot of fun doing backstage the debates, and
also,
he missed his friend.
The day after the caucuses, or a couple days, Iowa caucuses, I loved his tweet. It was something along the lines of, it's looking like Bernie won. Looking forward to
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. And it was that's cool.
It was cool because it was true.
That's nice.
But yeah.
It was true and accurate and simple. It wasn't, I didn't think, I started this very critical of Andrew Yang, and I think some of that was unfair because he attracted a lot of ironic fascists who liked him because they wanted $1,000 a month, and that's not his fault. But it did definitely color some of my
The math pen.
Yeah. And I hate the math pen. I do hate the math. I don't like his ads, but I don't really like anybody's ads.
Right.
Even Bernie's are a little cloying to me. I just don't like ads.
You don't like that Bloomberg ad? Or the other Bloomberg ad, or the other Bloomberg ad, or the other Bloomberg ad.
Bloomberg makes, Cody, what Bloomberg makes are not ads. They are messages.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There's a big distinction. Messages.
Message arts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's talking about the Buttigieg plenty bold type ads. Mm-hmm.
That was sort of a let them fight moment for me. It's okay. I have no problem with this. But for Yang, I am now understanding why the people who love him do so with such fervor.
Yeah.
Because he is very likable.
And positivity,
and you don't run
too.
Across that a lot. He's positive. He's, and I find myself surprised by how excited I am. I'm not going to vote for him, and I don't believe he has any chance of becoming the presidential candidate. I am excited for the future of his political career, and I hope that he continues to evolve. And one of my critiques of him is, I'm very much in favor of something like UBI. One of the major problems UBI would encounter is that it would cause a massive escalation in rent prices because landlords would jack up rent, and it would could eat up most, if not all, if not more than all, of what people actually get from UBI. And so there needs to be a comprehensive rent control program. And all that Yang has on his site about it right now, that I've found at least, I'm not going to say I dug super deep, but I found other of his fans online complaining about this, is that most of what he's had to say is talking about zoning. And changing zoning to reduce the price of housing. But he's been very vague about how he would do that. And if you look at, he cites San Francisco as an example, and San Francisco has reduced housing prices somewhat in the last couple of years as a result of some zoning changes. But the changes have been very modest and have not really worked to alleviate the massive problems that place has because of the high cost of living. So I think I would like to see an Andrew Yang with 12 more years, because he's a pretty young guy, of working on policy and maybe working in a cabinet position at some point.
That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I would very much I could see if he has the consistency, if he really is as good a guy as he seems to be, and he has the consistency of beliefs with someone like Sanders, and I think evolves more and develops a more effective, a more fully fleshed platform. I am excited to see where this guy's political career could head.
Yeah, I agree with so much of what you just said. How do you guys think Klobuchar did? Because CNN thinks that she landed some punches.
Is that a Syliza article? Do you have a Chris Syliza article open?
Do I? No, I don't.
Ooh, all right.
I do not.
I just want to say real quick, I love his articles because they're always the most likely results of the next primary, and it's five items, and it's Bernie wins, Elizabeth gets second or third or fourth, Pete gets first or second or third
so
or fourth, and it's
just posting a few different combinations.
It's amazing. I can't believe he still exists. But anyway, what did they have to say about Amy?
Hold on a second.
Side note, I did see my first Amy for America sign in Los Angeles. I saw one over the
weekend. Now, Sophie, had you had enough water? Are you certain that was not a mirage? A lot of people who see Amy Klobuchar signs who are in fact dying in the desert.
Mm-hmm. She looks hydrated.
Very
to me.
Very common problem. Okay.
She's taking a sip. All right. This is what CNN had to say about Klobuchar.
Really reliable news source. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Klobuchar continued to do what's allowed her to become a finalist in a field that started with 24 candidates, turning in another of a string of strong debate performances. Okay. She landed the punches she came in to deliver. She called Buttigieg's experience into question. She cast doubt on Sanders' electability. And she knocked Steyer for his lack of government experience. Is that what counts as a good debate performance?
I guess.
Katie, I have a story.
She did a series of things.
I have a couple of young cousins, and when I hang out with them, they like to pretend to be superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel's big these days, and I have a lot of enjoyment in when they throw a punch, reacting as if I have been knocked through the sky and flying back onto a couch or something. They enjoy it. I enjoy it. And I think Amy Klobuchar landed punches in that same vein.
Right.
That is the kind of punch that Amy Klobuchar landed.
I just don't understand why we pretend like she's the strong.
Yeah,
it's like she's actually making waves here. I mean, I know that there are people that like her. Probably not very many of you then listen to our show.
Sure.
But, like, Amy Klobuchar doesn't think she's going to get the nomination. You know, I don't think she does.
Yeah, I don't know if she does or not.
I'm positive because I'm read minds.
I mean, CNN has a very childish view of these kinds of events and politics in general. I think that maybe she's going for
she's
a
going
VP,
for,
you know?
Yeah, something like that.
Also, I think that a lot of her, I think a lot of where she's at right now is just, let's make sure that Pete doesn't get the nomination. Like, I think that she hates Pete more than
what
most of our listeners, more than us in this room, more than anyone else on that stage.
What makes you say that?
She keeps bringing up
how much she dislikes Pete Buttigieg.
She keeps poking him about having no experience and just sort of showing
up
randomly. She does like a lot of like side digs at him. And I think that she's an actual experienced, like serious version of Pete. Like she's like, I'm the moderate candidate. I'm not Joe Biden. Thank God.
She's a centrist who's done things.
Yeah. She's the role that I think Biden and Pete are both playing of like, I'm moderate.
They're all vying for that same demographic.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about Tom Steyer? I feel like maybe we're going to talk
really
about
quickly,
Biden
Katie,
and Bernie
really
and Buttigieg's
quickly.
Performance in the context of some of the stories. That happened in this.
And don't forget Warren.
Of course, and Warren.
I have something critical to add.
Please, Robert.
Don't forget
something
Warren,
critical to
like
add.
The moderators just did for the entire
for the
first
entire
hour.
We're going to get to that.
I just thought of what we should call Klobuchar fans.
What?
Okay, and again, this is as in the word shard, as in like the shards of a shattered thing, Klobuchards.
It sounds like Klobuchards.
Like
it does.
Like
yeah,
the people
like
when you shit your pants.
Yeah, it sounds like
she's
trying to fart.
Was largely intentional.
Mm-hmm. Right, because either it's tried to fart but actually shit your pants. Or it's you're like a broken piece of something. So like that's not great.
That was the
Can I read you my favorite Klobuchar headline from today, guys?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Clay Aiken on 2020 primary. Why I'm changing my vote from Joe Biden to Amy Klobuchar.
There it is.
That's the demographic.
Exactly.
Well, she got the Aiken vote?
She got
the Clay Aiken vote.
It's because of that performance on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And that's what and her performance in Iowa. Did better, I think, than a lot of people thought.
She's surging in New Hampshire.
And I think that, again, I think it's...
That's good...
Everyone wants an alternative to Joe Biden. They're looking for, like, we want a Joe Biden
These
type.
Are great slogans for her campaign. Amy Klobuchar did better than you thought,
mm-hmm,
than you would have
mm-hmm.
thought. Amy Klobuchar.
Mm-hmm.
You're iconic.
Oh, my God. Amy Klobuchar. Better than Biden.
Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar, Aiken vote.
Got the Aiken vote. Aiken to vote.
She got the Aiken vote. My God, that's, I mean,
This is
that
huge.
Could be what the election comes down to.
Huge if true, guys.
Yeah.
Huge if true.
Much as the 2008 election came down.
Well, I think that Clay Aiken's vote, even without the power of his celebrity, his vote counts for, I think, 50,000 people.
That's 50,000
One
votes, yeah.
vote for him is different.
We don't say it enough, but there would have been no Iraq war without Clay Aiken.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I feel like I say it all the time.
If you, the listener, take nothing else out of this podcast, the Iraq war is entirely Clay Aiken's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to talk about Steyer. I actually appreciated some of the points he made, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about that section, but I really liked how he kept bringing it back to race. What did he say at one point where he was like, we have not said a single word tonight about diversity. Are you kidding me? And it was... Yeah, you haven't. It hasn't been brought up at all.
And it's simultaneously, yes, I'm glad you brought that up, just as I'm very glad you're talking about reparations on like the floor of a major party debate. I would be lying if I said it wasn't a little bit awkward that the whitest man ever born is the one making these points.
Yeah.
But that's not his fault. He did the right thing. It's absolutely good that he did what he did.
Especially in that plaid tie.
There's something odd about Tom Steyer because he is saying those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it's very, very clear he wants desperately to be Bernie Sanders' friend. And there's a lot of like,
so
you bring up climate change. There's a lot of left-leaning things that he talks about. And it's very odd because he's... billionaire.
Yeah.
I like him more than Pete.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
In a sane and reasonable political system, Tom Steyer would be a moderate. Tom Steyer would be the Joe Biden. He would be a middle of the road Democrat.
That's not what we're working with.
No.
I don't know if we'll get to this later, but no, I'm just going to say it now. I really appreciate it. Well, I've said it on this show before, too. One of the things that I like about Bernie is that he voted against this trade deal because it doesn't incorporate climate stuff. And I liked how Tom Steyer called that out.
Yeah, he's like, I agree with Bernie. I agree with my best friend, Bernie.
I mean, and he said it right, too, because he's like, it's not that I don't put a priority on securing the best deal for our citizens, for our workers. But I think we've got more leverage if we also more leverage on the climate if we also include that as part of the deal. And people up there try to dismiss him, but I think that that's a very good point.
Yeah, and sometimes, the idea of like, well, we voted for this because you got to have something. It's like, sometimes you got to vote no.
Yeah, I mean, I think that moment was pretty potent because I think that the people up there, including a Warren, who I like, we're kind of stuck.
Yeah. It illustrates that, like, what he's fighting for that he's willing to take that stand, even when it's not popular, except for with Tom Steyer. I also do want to say that I appreciated Bernie unprompted bringing up the Muslim concentration camps in China.
Yeah.
No one brought it up. It wasn't part of the question. It's something that's on his mind.
Yeah. The other thing we should talk about before we go to a break is the fact that Elizabeth Warren didn't get very much speaking time, especially at the beginning.
Yeah. Did especially at the beginning.
Less,
I did notice
less
that.
Than Klobuchar.
Especially for getting third in Iowa.
Yeah. She got the fifth most speaking time and is number three in the election right now.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Biden got the most speaking time, overwhelmingly again, despite also like rambling on and being like, I'm out of time. Someone else talk, please. Despite getting
increasingly
fourth,
convincing me that he doesn't
I would say
know
a
words.
Week fourth.
Yeah.
Yet they still give him that.
Interesting how your position has evolved from last week when you called it a strong fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because of that Backstreet's Back, All Right video.
If you guys haven't seen this, it's
my
so
God.
Embarrassing.
You know what, actually, guys? We're going to right here.
Play it.
Daniel, edit in 20 seconds or so of that so you can listen to this
We had
nightmare.
To, and you have to now.
I would describe it as Lovecraftian.
So you guys enjoy that. After that, we're going to have a break for ads. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about more stuff. Are we all clear on the plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe Biden. Yeah, yeah. Joe Biden. Yeah, yeah. Joe Biden. Biden's back. All right.
We're back. We're back. And I want to address the elephant in the room, which is that there's a slight time delay because I am a continent away. And I don't want anyone to let me off easy for it. Attack me, cancel me, tear me apart online. Really, what I want is your theories about what this means about Katie and Cody and I's relationship, and the intricacies that you you puzzle out from
the fact that you're so far away from us.
Yeah,
yeah. Read as much into it as you possibly can.
I assume
away, folks.
I am wondering if after Daniel edits this, anybody will even be able to know.
Right.
So there's that. Let us know if you could tell that he was a continent away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the comments.
You're never a continent away in my heart.
Aw.
Thank you, Cody. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But you know who was a continent away from the hearts of the debate moderators? Was Elizabeth Warren, who basically didn't talk for like the first hour.
Yeah, way to bring it back.
And then afterwards.
That was amazing,
thank you.
Robert.
I am
really
a professional.
Wow.
I know. Really? I know.
Yeah.
But now we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, because
we got the transition right, and now we're done.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about Elizabeth.
Okay, good.
Well, we did address it before the break, but yeah, I agree. I appreciate that, us reminding that.
I mean, Cody and I watched it live, whereas you and Robert didn't, and like halfway through, Cody and I both were like, wait, like, is she, she's
weird.
Right there.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
It was interesting, yeah. So this sort of has to do with, I think, I would say one of the more substantive debates that have existed so far. I think part of that's because there were fewer people. But even the moderators, I thought, did like a better job than a lot of the hacks that usually do it.
Is that because they were coming for Pete?
Well, no. So they weren't, I didn't think. Aside from that one exchange that was amazing that we'll get to. But like up top, and I think Sophie, we talked about that too while we were watching, like, it was very clear that they were like, it's all in on attacking Bernie Sanders right now.
But just at the beginning,
But I think that
the tone of the party,
they tried to do that, but everyone on stage wouldn't let them.
Yeah,
like, there was a lot of...
The moderators tried to shit on Bernie, and then everyone on stage's approach was like, hey, we like Bernie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
I think that was...
Within 3 minutes, there was the question, is anyone concerned about having a democratic socialist on the top of the
exactly. Of course they ask that.
That's a shocking question to lead with. I'm not saying that they didn't. I'm just saying I was pleased that as the debate, because in the past, it's been throughout the debate.
Yes,
and
yes,
I definitely felt that shift this time around.
Yeah, so. They tried up top. One would assume also because like, well, they know that people are going to watch for at the very beginning at least, so they're going to see that part. But I just appreciated, that the other candidates on stage were like, no, we're not going to do that. Time.
I liked the Biden-Bernie hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to save this, but let's talk about the friendship of all of these candidates. Repeatedly, Robert made this point in our text thread, and I had the same thought. It was like so many of them saying, like, well, we're friends. Like, really, are you? Like,
except
do you guys you guys have each other over for dinner and like play poker on the weekend, smoke cigars?
Cuddle.
I don't think so.
I know it.
You know it.
I would love to see video of like Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders just like doing coke, getting wasted in Vegas.
In Russia.
Yeah, like that.
I think you mean Hunter Biden.
That's what Tom Steyer wants, is just like one weekend at Bernie's.
Yes, he wants a one weekend at Bernie's. Absolutely.
he's going to write a memoir after all of this, and he's... Honestly, what are my motivating reasons for getting to the debate? Well, I was hoping to make some solid friendships.
Yeah, I was lonely.
You know? If not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But the bigger point being that there did seem to be an emphasis on civility and bridging the gap and not having quite as much acrimony.
Until the next morning. When Biden was like, actually, fuck Pete.
Is that a direct quote?
No, his ad was just amazing.
Yeah.
Comparing their careers and accomplishments and together. It was very, very funny. It's a good ad.
Because these people are all politicians, and because other than Tom Steyer, I don't really trust that most of them desperately want to be friends.
No.
I do believe Tom Steyer would take a bullet for Bernie. I'm trying to think of like strategically why everyone was so nice to him and refused to take the bait, because he is the front runner by any reasonable persons. Yes. You could argue Pete, but if you look at the way the other...
Why, they were so nice to Bernie?
Yeah.
I've got an answer.
Why they chose not to take the bait.
Maybe they want to be VP.
Yeah, that's one very good theory, that they want to be VP. They see where the wind is blowing. They've accepted that they think he's going to win. Another option is... you know, they looked at what happened when the Sanders and Warren campaigns had a spat, and what happened to Warren's numbers, and are scared of pissing off Bernie's fans. That's another possibility. Another possibility is, for some reason, enough of them are deluded enough that they actually don't think he's going to win and think Pete might, and want to cut Pete down to size and like still think they have chances. Like, I don't know.
I think it's probably a combo of all of those. You know, like, even if a hedging of bets, sure. Yeah, I mean, you make a great point.
I hope
seeing
it's
what
a
Bernie's
VP
fans
thing,
do online. Yes, that's a great point, Robert. Yeah. Anyway,
well, his point was about the numbers, not the online people.
I know, but he's talking about how that affects
Chuck Todd going on his show and calling them brown shirts on the air.
He's talking about how the backlash online and everything affected Warren's numbers, and it's a good point. But cut Pete down, because he's posing a little bit of a threat right now. Sorry, Robert.
Katie, it's I'm just thinking about your initial answer, because it's a mark of how fucking cynical I am.
Yeah.
That I didn't consider they all just might be wanting to be vice president. I had to think that there was like either something dumb or sinister. Like, oh yeah, maybe they've just accepted that he's going to win, and they're angling. Maybe they're doing the thing that you do. Maybe this is going to be a normal election where the guy who clearly has the momentum, everyone lines up behind.
But they line up behind because they want something from him.
Right.
They're politicians.
Yeah, politicians, and maybe it's different for the different candidates on stage. I don't think Amy Klobuchar thinks she's got a shot at VP with Bernie administration.
Right. It's very nice. Like Steyer.
But Pete is a more direct threat to her. Steyer and Yang, maybe. I don't know. I doubt
Steyer.
Like,
I think they just like him.
But they like him. You know.
I think there's a mix of like, I genuinely like him, and I'm maneuvering right now.
Do you guys think that there's a world where Warren would be his VP? I used to think so, but after this whole thing, I don't know what the optics would look like.
Man, they were definitely, at least she was very clearly trying to repair some bridges
I think it's still a possibility. I think it may be less of a possibility. Like, I don't think she would ever pick him.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah. I think that, because I think that she would probably lean more towards getting like someone from another wing of the party.
Maybe.
Like not Tim Kaine, that bad example, but like someone a little more moderate than her.
Maybe Castro.
To sort of shore up that. Or Castro, I think.
Oh,
is,
I think
like
Castro
top,
would be like, an amazing. Oh, God.
He would probably be her pick, right?
Look, I'm excited for a Bernie presidency. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. I support him. I've donated as much money to him as I have, more to him than I have to Warren, actually. But God, I mean, I still love her, and I would love a Warren Castro ticket.
Yeah,
I think
it's still a possibility. I think that the rift, the perceived rift that happened, and all of that drama and tension, I think people are very like emotional about it. But I think also like, well, it's politics, and I think that I don't know. I think it's still a possibility that he would pick her, because I think that it would definitely unite that wing of the party.
It sure would.
And I think that obviously she's not the enemy. I think people perceive her that way now because they see him as the front runner, and her as sort of like siphoning off some of that support and making it harder and easier for people like Pete and so on. But I think that
true. Reverse is also true.
Bernie Sanders is taking much of Pete's support.
No.
But I think that if it was decided that was going to be the case, I think they would run away with it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be something that I wouldn't even worry about at that point.
Well, we should.
I mean, yeah, obviously. Get out there.
Speaking of
knock
Pete,
on those doors.
Should we do it? Should we do the thing? Talk about Pete.
Buttigieg?
Yeah. Can we not?
P-Booch?
I'm just kidding. P-booch? Of course we have to.
The Booge?
Okay, let's talk P-booch-ig? About Pete.
The Mighty Booge.
Peanut Butter Jugs? Peanut Butter Jugs. That's the nickname.
Peanut
I found
Booge.
It, guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Peanut Butter Jugs. That's what we're calling him.
That's what we're calling Mr. Pete. Him.
What do you want to say about Mr. Pete today?
I don't know. I'm just so tired of it all. I appreciated that Amy hates him so much. And I appreciated that one exchange where he was asked about the arrests of black people in his city, his town.
I'll say this. It's still surprising to me that people don't know about that story. People are still like, what are you talking about? Why is this?
There's a lot of stuff about that, about his time there that people don't know about. I was actually surprised in the Biden ad that they kind of mentioned it a little bit when mostly they're talking about like all the little chintzy like, oh, he put lights in the fountain kind of stuff.
I'm not sure if this is the exchange that you're speaking about, but I'll throw it out there. Mm. There was this one incident where the moderator brought up the rise in African-American incarcerations the year that he became mayor and how it's increased and blah, blah, blah. And Pete tried to kind of talk his way around it. And then she was just like, no, you haven't addressed the point. What I'm saying is that it literally has gone up the year you came into office. And it was a pretty important moment. Did I do this justice? Did
yeah,
I describe
I mean, that's
it properly?
It. Yeah, he his reaction instantly was to lie. And say, well, that's not what happened. She was like, well, no, here.
But it is. It is what happened. And then he was like, yeah, yeah. And it's a problem and we have to fix this.
Well, but he tied it. So he tied it to basically it went up because of it was marijuana and gang violence.
That's right. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I'm going to posit that that's a terrible way to frame it and a bad answer.
Oh, you don't think blaming the reefer? Is a good move in a 2020 Democratic primary?
Like sort of framing like there's some
Democrats
sort of madness around that reefer? Like maybe that?
I'm going to go ahead and say I think the key to winning this election is going to be demonizing marijuana. If there's one thing that unites Americans, it's not wanting marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Specifically related to a specific community that's over-policed and then tying it to gang violence in South Bend, Indiana. Pete.
And I also, it wasn't directly related to this moment, but pretty close to it. Gotta love my Elizabeth. Where then the moderator turned to her and said, do you think Pete's answer was sufficient? And she was like, no.
That was
a good moment.
That was a good moment.
I love it whenever one of them gets asked a direct question about someone like is particularly Pete fucking up and not answering. And like, they're like, no, he fucking didn't answer it. Like,
yeah,
I love it.
That was a weird, do they do that a lot? I've never noticed something like that of like, was that answer good?
Yeah. And it's interesting that it's happened to her. So the last debate, it was, they asked about Bernie
right,
and then he
Bernie
answered and then she comes and then they turn to her and go like, what do you think about that? Well, we disagree, you know, like, and then putting them on a spot and like really teeing them up to do a.
Yeah, it was a weird tee up, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like,
you got to answer the question.
No, I know. I just have never noticed that sort of framing from moderators.
I don't know before. If it's because I'm paying attention to Warren specifically that I notice it more with her, sure. Which is could absolutely be true. It's strange. It felt.
Yeah.
I also jumped out at me and I thought, is this normal?
Yeah, it pinged my brain a little bit.
But I thought it was a great moment.
Yeah. Bad answer, Pete.
He does. He continues to do the thing that the people who support him want him to do, which is say comforting things about unity and moving America forward and more than anything else, bringing America. Like the thing that Pete is the candidate of we can get over this partisanship and go back to all not caring that much about politics. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Pete Buttigieg, that's the Pete Buttigieg promise is like, we can get through the Trump years and go back to, you know, liking our president.
It's mostly empty platitudes and nonsense that aren't really saying much of anything
other than
we'll do it together.
No.
Mad lib sentences strung together that are very generic. I mean, they addressed this point blank in the debate, actually, because of some comment that he'd made about not even wanting to turn on the impeachment
like he wanted to watch cartoons or whatever instead.
Yeah, and then Amy Klobuchar was like, well, no, some of us care deeply about what's happening. All of it's just politics. Of course, you're misinterpreting what he's saying, but also, yeah, that is what he's selling. It is, we're tired of this. Mm-hmm. I'm relatable. We're all tired of this monster in the office. We're tired of this drama. Why can't it go back to being easy and people aren't scrutinizing us so closely?
Right, right. So stop thinking about it. Stop looking into all this stuff so I can present my Medicare for all who want it, that the penalty for not having insurance is $7,000. The mandate from Obamacare, his plan bumps it up by like $6,000.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. On this note, I think weirdly, Marianne Williamson has
is she still in the race?
No, but she nailed it. So basically, there's this reporter who was tweeting about their canvassing. So I spoke to a Bernie 2016 supporter who became a hardcore Marianne stan and is now firmly in Buttigieg's camp. I tried to convince her that Pete had no Marianne energy, but to no avail. So her response to this tweet was, if you have that person's phone number, I will call them myself. And then she immediately tweeted this.
God damn.
Quote, I haven't endorsed anyone because there's more than one good progressive and everyone has to vote their conscience. But I submit to my supporters that someone with no real agenda and no real vision for our country beyond a vague notion of inclusion is nothing but a corporate tool. End of tweet.
What the fuck? How did that happen?
She's very passionate about Pete Buttigieg, apparently.
Apparently.
He might be the one to bring us all together.
He really is. It's very interesting that everybody wants him to stop, except for, all the people who vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody does seem to want – I mean, not everybody, obviously. Speaking of tweets and Buttigieg, Ken Klippenstein retweeted this today. Or yesterday, I don't know. And we've talked about it before, but God, it's so beautiful. Pete Buttigieg, February 18th, 2018. Gosh, okay. I, Pete Buttigieg, politician, do henceforth and forthwith declare most affirmatively and indubitably unto the ages that I do favor Medicare for all, as I do favor any measure that would help get all Americans covered. Now, if you'll excuse me, potholes, wait.
What a dork.
Yeah, it's dorky, but also...
But also a lie, yeah.
Because, like, the whole reason to say it that way, for that to be the way you frame it, is because the point you're making is that, like, of course I want Medicare for all, and how stupid of any of you to, like, ask, and, like,
I wasn't going to bring it up, but, yeah, you know, the tweets and the PD talkies.
Also, like, it's funny, because, like, that's the point. Yeah, it's like, I'm straight shooter. But also, literally, he says, like, I, Pete Buttigieg, politician.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Why would you lead with that? Yeah, he's evolved. He's evolved his position.
I just like most affirmatively and indubitably unto the ages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
That
sounds like been writ and so it shall be.
It's firm.
But yeah, are there any other
I'm just dealing with the almost physical it's almost like being punched, the amount of shock that comes from respecting Marianne Williamson for something.
It was it's amazing.
It throws you for a loop.
That's a great answer. That is really well worded and phrased.
It says everything without like explicitly. Yeah. It's so good.
Do you guys have any other debate moments to discuss before we take another break?
No, I enjoy, and I think I tweeted this, and this preceded the exchange that we talked about. I enjoy whenever Pete is asked a question that makes him visibly gulp. Where you can see the fear in his eyes and you can watch him swallow very deliberately because he is dreading what is about to happen.
Because he is a lying little shrewdage.
Yes. Thank you, Robert.
That is really good. I mean, it's mean, but it's good.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's softer than rat, you know? Rats. Do the shrew
stuff.
I've been
struggling because like all of the nicknames that come easily to his name are like butt jokes. And sure. I don't want anyone to think that I'm like doing like a gay joke.
Yeah.
Thing, like,
no. Yeah.
Be. So I've steered clear. But Shrutijij, I feel good about. I feel like I've landed on a winner.
Although
we got him.
Yeah, we got him. It'd be like shrewd though. Yeah. Shrewd. I don't know.
Shrewd. Oh yeah.
Open to that interpretation.
That could be something spun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a shrewd. Very Shrutijij.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were going to do like a Dwight Schrute thing. And I was going to say.
There's that
there's
too.
If there's a Dwight of this election, it's Tom Steyer. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Assistant to That's the Bernie Sanders.
yes, the Dwight to Bernie's gym.
All right, guys, we're going to take a really quick break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about more things, probably Biden. I know
Joe
I'm
Biden?
Joe Biden.
While you wait, grab a cold Brutijedge.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. Sorry, I'm pretending to be hosting.
We sure are. We're back as hell.
So Robert wanted me to start on
this segment.
I'm proud
of how back we are.
He wants me to start on the fact that Pete is now running on the I'm the only candidate on those debate stages in this race among the major candidates who's not a millionaire or a billionaire. And go.
Sorry, I just put a piece of chocolate in my mouth. I thought you were going to be talking for a little bit longer.
I am not a host of the show, no.
Cody.
Okay, so here's a couple of things about Pete saying this thing. First of
I
all.
I love a couple of things
yeah,
about
I love
Pete.
Couples of things. First of all. Yeah, but like you've got billionaires, like lots of billionaires donating to your campaign.
Yeah.
It's not about your like personal net worth. It's about what you stand for and who is fighting for you and who is donating
right.
to you.
Trying
who...
to paint yourself as the guy that doesn't have the backing yeah. of big money is grotesquely
it's,
misleading.
Yes. It's wild that he's like trying to maneuver through this and presenting himself like that. Because also even like today, all these Goldman Sachs executives came out in this article being like, yeah, I really like Pete. We're going to back Pete. So he's got the backing of the people he's trying to claim right. he is not. So I don't know, Pete. It's like with, yeah, well, okay, Bernie Sanders has $3 million. Okay, but like Bernie Sanders has all these working class people donating to him.
Right.
So take that into consideration.
Bernie Sanders has what I would say is an achievable amount of wealth for someone of his generation and age to have gotten. I have known a lot of people who by the time they were in their 70s, and they're fortunate people, but they're not, you're not a plutocrat at that
right.
level of
right.
wealth, right? Like you're somebody who lived an upper middle class life and was very good about where you put your money and
you
also
bought a house at the right
time for
you bought a house at the right moment.
You're still someone who's fundamentally lived in the same world as the rest of us.
Right.
Yes.
$3 million at the age of 70 something isn't I have been I have always been in the clouds and I can no longer remember the ground.
Right.
Okay. I think we've talked about Pete a lot, and not to say that we can't talk about him some more, but I'd like to talk about Biden. So can we talk about Biden?
Yeah,
the Biden in the room.
Biden, our time.
Can I say one more thing about Pete?
Sure.
One more
Jesus.
Thing, and then I'm done. It is true that Pete Buttigieg is not a millionaire, but he will be.
Yes. So that's
we
the other thing, right?
Be.
Like
he will be
he
worth
is,
many millions of dollars.
He's 38.
That is what he is going.
He's
for.
A politician. Yeah. He will have millions of dollars in 10 years. He will be a millionaire. Yeah. So nice try, Pete. I'm sorry.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Point accepted.
Good.
Let's talk about Biden.
I bought you guys all matching these shirts.
Oh, they say we're riding with Biden.
He sells them on his website.
Don't do
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
Don't
do
give him
not
that money.
Give him money.
That's $90.
We'll
that
make
he
them
gets.
Ourselves.
No, Sophie, can we don't spend the money on that. Spend the money on setting up a new line of Bernard Montgomery Sanders shot JFK on the glassy knoll with a Mannlicher Carcano rifle. I think that's the t-shirt to bring America together.
And then put at the bottom, Biden 2020.
Might be the t-shirt that gets us sued. But all right. I have one moment that jumped out at me that I wanted to talk about.
Was it when
Biden.
He was like, hey, look here, Jack. I tell you what. All right. Come on.
Sort of. Okay. We were talking the gun debate, and that is something where people can come for Bernie a little bit about his record, and Biden, you know, is up there saying that Bernie should be held accountable for his past gun votes. We need to be held accountable for these things, for the things we've done in the past.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, really? Do we now? Okay, let's talk about that a bit more and some of your record.
Let's hold Bernie accountable for being slightly less in favor of gun control than most of the other candidates.
Yeah. And like,
You want to talk about how Joe Biden's the reason we have civil asset forfeiture in this nation?
We can.
We don't need to.
No, that doesn't seem relevant.
All right. How did you guys...
Do you want to talk about how Joe Biden pushed for an assault weapons ban that didn't ban assault weapons because it was written by people who don't know anything about guns?
Sure, we could talk about that too. Do you want to? Or have we talked about it enough by mentioning it at all? How did you guys feel Biden did up there?
I never think Biden does a great job.
I'm just always stressed out watching him talk.
Yeah, there's a sort of frustrated confusion that he brings to the stage in his answers. And so oftentimes when he is asked something, when he talks about something, I can sense that he's very frustrated and confused, which I don't think bodes well for any sort of a debate with Donald Trump. But I don't know. I think he also doesn't necessarily say anything a lot of times. And I alluded to it by saying, hey, look here, Jack. He's got a lot of that energy.
Yeah, look here, Jack. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got some serious anger management problems.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's countless videos of him like shoving his finger in people's chests.
I'm just waiting for the video to drop of him calling Lily Tomlin the C word.
Right. So here's where I really am at with was
I Heart Huckabee's reference.
Oh, there we go.
Guys. go ahead.
But the one thing that I'm struggling now with Joe Biden is that he does seem confused and there's a frustration that I think he has a lot of. And there are a lot of these videos of him being asked questions by people who are potential voters and him like manhandling them.
Yeah.
Grabbing their jackets, zipping them up for him. Shoving him with a finger. Recently, he was asked a question about the Iowa caucus, and he said, hey, have you ever been to a caucus? And she said, yes, and he called her a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Now, he was doing it in a jokey way.
I feel like that one's unfair. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the kind of thing, you know, I'm not a give Joe Biden credit guy. I don't like Joe Biden. I don't think he's a good candidate. But, like, when I heard that, people talking about it on Twitter, I was like, oh my God, Joe Biden like flipped out on some poor girl. And then when I watched it, I was like, no, that was like a joking error. The crowd clearly laughed. It's a line he's used. Like he was trying to be folksy and like,
that girl was like a college student or something. Doubt she got that right. She's like,
From that John Wayne movie.
I mean, the judgment of deciding to use that reference to a young woman.
Yes, from before my dad was born.
What was the quote? A lying
dog-faced pony soldier.
So, no one knows what that means. Calling a woman dog-face, not a good look. But it was mischaracterized, I think, online.
That's fair. I didn't see the reaction first. I saw the clip first.
Yeah.
And it still bothered me, but like, you know, we've all got, I don't know, it's like, it's weird. It's a weird confrontational way to talk to voters.
Sure.
And especially in this age where we're calling anything Trumpian, like, even if it's jokey, it's like, I don't know, is that what we want?
I think that we do ourselves a disservice if we mischaracterize things a lot, you know, then you're
for
like
sure,
the boy
absolutely.
Who cried wolf. Totally, I hear you, and I agree with you. Like, there's something off about the way he talks in that quote.
Yeah, and like
also,
a lot of
read something about people were like trying to check to see if that was an actual quote. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I read was like, we haven't found it, but John Wayne did do a ton of movies, so it's possible.
Sure, it's possible.
Like the situation is like they found like I've seen where it's from. It's I'm spaced on the name, but the line he doesn't say the exact line.
Oh, okay.
The line is like dog faced soldiers, and he added an extra couple of words to it. But like it's
even if it's a joke, it's weird to react that way when you're asking a voter a question. She's like, yeah, I've been to a caucus, and then I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely he's an old man who doesn't understand the world, making references nobody gets because his brain is dying.
Right, and especially in the context of all these other instances of him kind of like telling people why to go vote for somebody else, and the shoving the finger in the chest, all that kind of stuff. So my my struggle that I'm dealing with now, which is what I was starting with about this whole Biden thing, is that I think that there is a decent chance that if Joe Biden was on the stage with Donald Trump during a debate and he got a little confrontational, a little frustrated, he was called a name or something like that, I think that what we're seeing now would bubble up and he might actually start shoving Donald Trump.
I doubt that would happen.
That's why I might vote for Joe Biden.
I doubt that would actually happen.
I'm texting Joe to 30330 right now.
As you should. 50-50.
Don't take them seriously,
50-50. Folks,
he's threatening to kiss my girlfriend. Joe Biden is texting me right now.
I'm going to kiss your girlfriend, son. Get out of here, Jack.
Okay. Let's bring this back to the debate.
But alt opinion, I think this was the first debate where I didn't think he was like taking a nap.
Fair. Sure. Yeah. He had a lot of energy.
He was energy.
He seemed like he was energy, she says.
He was energy.
He had taken like the right
caffeine pill.
And he came in like ready to. He seemed like ready to defend himself.
Yeah.
Which he needs to be. He just lost Iowa.
In past debates, I thought he was more like ready. He was like hiding a bit.
Didn't he also say, "We might not do well in New Hampshire"?
It was amazing. He said, "Yeah, we did bad in Iowa. We might not do well in New Hampshire, but we're going to do it." Yeah, it's
like, first thing he said was like, "Hey, I suck. Hey, I'm going to suck again next week, but I'm still here, baby."
The other moment I wanted to bring up that made me cringe, and it wasn't just his fault, but he was a part of it. The three men up there debating about who was most popular with black people. I think it was Buttigieg, Bernie, and Biden. He was like, "Well, have you seen my numbers? Have you seen?" I was like, "Oh boy, this is not a good look for you guys. Not a good look for any of you."
It was a bunch of white dudes talking about their black friends. That was a weird moment and not a comfortable one.
No.
The good news, I guess, is that the Republicans don't have a less weird racial thing to point towards.
Positive
so
spin.
I guess that,
What
else do we want? The Democratic Party, not as racist as those other guys.
Yeah. The least racist of the two racists.
Are there any other really big points you guys wanted to bring up from this week?
No, I keep thinking about how everybody doesn't like Pete on stage.
What did you think of everyone's closing statements? Because everybody was talking about how strong Amy Klobuchar's statement was at the end.
Oh, that's actually, so I did want to talk about this.
Great.
Her closing statement was largely about empathy. I found it a little off knowing that she abuses her staff.
Is that true or is that just rumors?
I think it's true. Like, there's a lot of reporting on her history of that, and like people being like, "I'm not going to work."
Yeah,
on
I believe
her
that. A lot of people being like, "That's ridiculous." She's a great boss, but that could be somebody that's put up for it.
And like when the New York Times they did their interviews with all of them. But like when they're talking about that, they like hand waved it away. They're like, "Yeah, and she's allegedly abusive of her staff, but." That just is the mark of like not hiring good people. It was a weird like blaming the staff for getting abused. But my main point is that I think the message overall is a good thing to keep coming back to.
Yeah, I do too.
I liked that she brought up empathy. I guess also part of me wishes, if you're going to talk about that, and I believe that she believes it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, she's doing an act or whatever.
Yeah.
I would want the policies to reflect that empathy a little more.
Sure.
And her approach to things and what she actually wants to accomplish. So I don't know. That was my...
I'll be honest, Sophie. I don't really remember much about their closing statements. I was going to try to vamp right now, but...
You're doing it.
I think I'm suffering from debate fatigue. Earlier in the episode, you said that you thought this was a more substantive debate, and I agree with you it was, but I still am feeling myself
Yeah.
Like my eyes rolling back in my head sometimes.
Primary season and elections in general in this country happen way too early and they last way too long. And every cycle they happen earlier and they last longer.
Yeah.
And it is maddening. And we're getting closer and closer to just there's always an election going on and it's all consuming. And it's very, very frustrating and exhausting.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the next president, if they go, let's say, 2 terms, they accomplish quite a bit. I hope that their last move is to abolish the presidency.
Okay.
Like, no more presidents.
I agree. And I want to talk about something else before
great.
We close out.
Please do.
Which is the great mystery of this campaign to me. So Tom Steyer, right? Born in 1957. His father was a prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials and then a partner in a major New York law firm. His mom was a reading teacher, but comes from money, you know, partner in a major New York law firm. Dad's a big time prosecutor. Graduates from Yale, founds a hedge fund, makes $1.6 billion taking huge risks on distressed assets. Why does he love Bernie Sanders?
Mm-hmm.
What? I need to understand why a billionaire hedge fund manager has such a deep love for Bernard Sanders. What happened?
I have a theory.
Oh, you have
we
a theory?
Both have theories.
We have
I think it goes back to high school. I think that he's always been this kid in a little plaid tie, and nobody liked him. And
I loved his plaid tie.
Yeah, they're cute. But as a kid, nobody liked it as a kid. And he's enamored with Bernie's popularity. He wants friends. And I think that he wants to be a part of the cool kids club.
Mm. He wants young people to like him.
Maybe there's that too, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a
We're
lot
We're
going to
be
there.
Talking in our soothing voices as we cycle in.
Soothing voices.
I think that there's a lot to that. I think that there's the wanting to be liked. I do think that he does care about climate change quite
a
bit.
Yeah, it matters
and
to
I would
him
say
a
that
lot.
Bernie has the strongest climate plan. But I think in general, my theory.
You're getting a little loud for me.
In general, I think that my theory is that Bernie is good, actually. And Steyer is just like, yeah, he's good. I like him.
I don't
believe it could be. I mean, your theory makes sense. I don't believe it's just a popular. The way he approached Bernie, I can't stop thinking about. Mm-hmm. I can't stop thinking about the. No one does that in politics.
I just wanted to say
how walks into two.
I have this idea in my head that there was some sort of mixer at some point, and they had like the start of a good conversation, and maybe. Maybe he's socially awkward and, you know, not good at making friends. I'm keep coming back to that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, we had a start of a really good conversation. I got to make sure that I say hi to Bernie to solidify this.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make sure, you know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he wants to be the vice president and he sees the writing on the wall.
Tom.
I know, buddy.
No.
It is a very fascinating moment.
It is interesting.
You're right. Do come back to it a lot.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Like, I'd love to sit down and have dinner with Tom Steyer.
Aside from everything surrounding that moment, there's just something about it.
There's just something about Tom Steyer in that moment.
Here's the thing. Here's why this matters. The entire thing about running for president, about seeking the presidency, about running a campaign, is a quest to hide yourself from America, is to hide yourself from voters. Because no voter wants to vote for anyone's true self, because no true human being is fit to be a president. And so the whole process of running for president is about hiding the aspects of yourself that are real, that would convince everyone, oh no. Tom Steyer revealed the sort of thing that you're not supposed to reveal, which is that he, at the end of the day, is a little boy who wanted to shake hands with his hero.
Mm-hmm. That he's thirsty
and
as fuck.
I've never seen that. Yeah, it was something else.
It's yeah.
It was so important to him that he stumbled in between two clearly fighting people.
Yeah, there's something like it's bizarre. It's refreshing a little bit.
You got me convinced. I'm voting for Tom.
Give me a little hope.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw away my vote
for
on Tom.
It's going to be something else when he's like, I'm a billionaire and I endorse Bernie Sanders. so that I can hang out with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that's
not too often. Not, he doesn't just have unreasonable the right amount. Hopes.
Just enough. Just like a call every couple of weeks, you know?
A FaceTime.
A FaceTime.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah. Guys. I think we really did it today. We talked about that.
We finally talked about our debate on this show about how everything is bad.
And I feel confident in saying it's the best debate breakdown that ever was and ever will
show. And I feel confident in saying that all of us at Worst Year Ever are now on the same page. Steyer Kaczynski, 2020.
2020.
Mm-hmm. Can I get each of you to do a closing statement?
No.
Please?
And that's how I'm closing this episode. And that is my statement.
Power move.
Passionately want to say the candidates. End of statement.
Robert?
I would also like to meet Bernie Sanders. And I hope that when I do, he is in the middle of a red-faced, livid fight with his wife. And I want to stumble right in the middle of that and offer him my hand as he is crying.
Yeah, I just want a yeah, good, okay from Bernie, you know?
All right, yes, good, okay.
That like
very good,
resounding praise and acceptance. Yeah, good, okay.
Do you think he, I wonder how often he said that to his son growing up.
Oh, dismissively, yeah.
All right, guys, you can find us online at Worst Year Pod, Twitter, Instagram. That's it. Those are the places.
Google.com.
Google.com? Mm-hmm. That's also
Bing.
A place.
Bing.net. Mm-hmm. DuckDuckGo.
Alta Vista.
LexisNexis. Alta Vista.
Ask Jeeves.
Netscape search.
.biz.
GeoCities. Yeah. .search/type.net.
Cool.
None of this is staying in.
That's the one.
Have a great week.
All of it stays.
Have a great week.
Follow all of them on the social medias. Mm-hmm.
And Sophie. Sophie has a new Instagram.
Twitter now.
Twitter.
If you want to get a taste of Sophie's really shockingly hard right politics,
Scott, I was very concerned with where that was going and was slightly relieved by where it ended, but not really.
Yeah. Follow Sophie @_Y_Sophie_Y.
The word Y.
I was actually going to plug your guys' I write okay. @DrMrCody, @KatieStoll.
We've all plugged each other.
Wow.
Cool.
God, we're bad at ending this podcast.
Yeah, we all really just like each other so much.
Yeah, we just want to keep talking.
We're all friends here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of want to go.
Oh.
Nobody got it.
I didn't get it.
You're the Bernie to our Tom Steyer.
I get it.
You don't want to hang out with us at all.
That was such a good bit.
It was good, Sophie.
We're all friends here, guys.
We are all friends here, guys.
All my friends here. And we're all going to go now. Bye.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb. And it's going to get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.